Celebrating the best New South Wales racing, Sky Sports Radio.
It's 24 to 11, had a huge day of racing tomorrow at Flemington. We'll also look at Rose Hill, get best bets there. But Paul Joyce joining us now from RaceNet. How are you, Paul?
I'm really well, Sean. I'm actually down in Melbourne and it's a sunny day, a little bit cool, but the track at Flemington on Saturday should be good. And as you said, it doesn't get much better than this from a punting perspective. I can't wait.
Simon Dinopoulos joining us now from Racing Sports. How are you, Simon?
I'm well, Sean. How are you?
Good. I suggest that probably Derby Day at Flemington would be equal to, if not better than, any other race day anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100% agree.
Yeah. Now, we're going to look at races 5, 6, 7, 8 there. We'll also get best bets, of course, for Rose Hill. But race 5 tomorrow is a ripper, the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Now, Capitalist has come out. Two Extreme Choice on Tab Fixed Odds is 290. Three Astern, 350. Five Star Turn, 380. Four and six Flying Artie, Russian Revolution, $10. Now, seven Saraceno, nine Derren, both $26. Eight Archives, $41. And nine Manolo Blanc, $51. And the Coolmore down the straight, six, Paul. Will they go to the middle or will they go to a fence, do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's one of those tricks with betting in straight races. Where will they go? Of course, last year on this meeting, it was a lightning bias on the fence. Now, hopefully that isn't the case this year. I don't think it will be. But the speed here is drawn wide. Obviously, Russian Revolution and Archives are the two I think will go forward, and they've both drawn out. So it'll be interesting if you're an Astern fan, which I am, because James McDonald's also drawn a little bit out. So, Simon, what do you think will happen here with the way this race will be run?
Yeah, it looks an interesting race. I agree with you in regards to Astern. I think I'm so happy he's drawn out. He looks to get a lovely trail. I think Star Turn, Extreme Choice, they should be prominent from their inside draws, and wouldn't be surprised to see Saraceno maybe lead that pack. Just whether they split, I'm not too sure. I doubt it, obviously, in the small field, but should be a genuine tempo. I think every horse will get their chance, and really looking forward to it. This Coolmore has sort of been in the making, this race. Everyone's been waiting for it, and just from a time form perspective, generally when you look at a Coolmore leading into it, there's only one or two horses rated 120 or higher. This year, we have four now with Capitalist out, so it just shows he's arguably the best Coolmore we've ever seen and just really pumped for it. I think Astern, I've got him on top, slight edge there. Just love this horse. Now, he's obviously dominating the Golden Rose, and then last start was beaten behind Russian Revolution, but his sectionals were electric. Where he was pretty much impossible for him to win. Thought his performance was very good. I loved his jump out during the week down the straight, and as Paul touched on earlier, he looks to get a lovely run behind his stablemate Archive. Expect Russian Revolution to also press forward, and just from there, if James McDonald gets into the right spot, I think he'll be the strongest late. I think he'd be very hard to beat. And I was surprised he didn't come up favourite. I know Extreme Choice beat the old horses last start, but I think at this stage, Astern is the best three-year-old in the country. I think he's deserved a favourite there on Saturday. So more than happy to gamble with him. I'll also be backing Star Turn. They're my top two selections in the Coolmore. My numbers are 3, 5, 2, and 4. Love Star Turn's been a great horse to me as well. He's obviously dominant against the older horses last start, and no reason to jump off him on Saturday. Just think Astern just has that slight edge on him. He obviously beat him in the run to the Rose, giving him weight and Dixoncy to run on that occasion. So I think at this stage, Astern is the better horse, but certainly not knocking Star Turn. He's come back in amazing order for the Team Horse Stable. Into third, Extreme Choice, obviously impressive in the Moya. Just a slight query on the form. There's a lot of flops out of it, and a lot of flops have since come out of the race as well. So I know he was visually impressive, but the figures out of it are a bit messy as well. So slight query, but obviously he was a dominant winner of the Blue Diamond and he's hard to knock. I've only got him. He's in for third, but I'm scared stiff of him. He's obviously a very talented horse, and Mick Price has been bullish all week. You've got to love when trainers are like that. So in for third, Extreme Choice, and in for fourth, Flying Artie. I think he's a very good horse. Following in next preparation in races like the Australian Guineas, I think he's a star. Probably they'll find a bit too sharp for him on Saturday, but he's definitely one to put in your black book for the future. But Team Astern for me, numbers 3, 5, 2, and 4.
Look, I'm pretty much with you all the way, Simon. 3, 5, 2, and 6 for me. I think you've covered everything with Astern. The jump out was terrific. He had a lap full of horse under him, James McDonald, and basically, you know, these rivals he's going to face on Saturday. The way the race maps should suit him as well. You know, there's plenty to like about him. As you said, his sectionals in the Roman Consul were outstanding. You've got to forgive him that defeat. And I'm with you. I think he's the best three-year-old in Australia, and he should prove that on Saturday, at least the best three-year-old over this sort of distance range. So I'm with Astern to beat the five-star Turn. Going terrific. Can't do much more than what he's been doing. Then you go to Extreme Choice. I'm sort of with you here. I've just got a slight query over the the form line through the Moonee Valley Group 1. So we'll see more on Saturday, but at this stage I'm happy to take him on. And then I've got number 6, Russian Revolution, in for 4th. That's the only difference for me. 4 from 4, you've still left him out of the 4. I mean, that's how strong this race is. And I've snuck him into 4th, you know, and he beat the Stern Fair and Square in the Roman Consul. So it really is a super competitive race. But at the end of the day, I'm plonking with the Stern.
What will be interesting is the only other race down the straight before this is the 3rd, over 1,100. There's 21 runners. So, I mean, with a field that size, they may split. But, Paul and Simon, in recent times, often whether it's a smaller field like the Coolmore here, we get 9 runners, they've bunched up and come down the middle.
Yeah, well, that's right. Look, it's straight racing for me. It's a little bit of that lottery factor because you just don't know where they're going to go. And if they do split here and we've got an inside-outside division and one part of the track's faster, well, you've done your cash cold. So, I find it a bit tricky, straight racing. Obviously, based in Sydney, we don't have to deal with it on a weekly basis like they do down here. But, yeah, I just don't know how they're going to match. I really don't. I
suppose have a look at the 3rd and see what happens there.
I think that's the key, Sean. You've got to look at the early sprint race, see what happens there, and make your judgment off that, because at least you'll have some sort of info to work off.
All right, now we'll look to race 6. This is the Meyer Classic. At this stage, there are no scratchings. 2 First Seals, $4.20. 10 Dixie Blossoms, $6. 7 Don't Tell Mama, $6.50. Now, 14 Whispering Brooks is $7 pop, 4 Danish Twist, $9.50, 12 Euro Angel, $10, 5 Heavens Above, and 11 Den Magic, $17, 15 I Am a Star, $18, 1 Rising Romance, and 8 Serene Majesty, $21, 9 Pearls is $26, 6 French Emotion, $31, 13 Pure Pride, $35, and 3 Zanbar, the Outsider, at $61, Paul.
Yeah, look, good speed. That's drawn wide. We've got the likes of Pearls. Whispering Brook will kick up. You've got I Am a Star drawn out. And I think even Euro Angel from that draw probably rolls forward as well. So in a big field with a bit of speed drawn wide, I think the pressure will be on over the mile and most runners should get their chance.
Yeah, it looks a cracking renewal. I think it's a tricky race and, you know, it's hard to really rule any of these mares out. There's a lot of mares coming to the race in form, and also you've got the 3-year-old factor with the fillies Whispering Brook and I Am a Star. Look, First Seal, she's only 2 from 9 when she's priced between even money and $6. So she has let the punters down, but I've got her on top. It's hard not to. She was impressive in the Tristar, giving weight away, and she does look to be back in good order. I think her first up run, she was obviously disappointing from a backer's perspective, but I think she just peaked on her run. She obviously took good improvement out of that performance, and she should be set to peak racing third up. This has obviously been the grand final for this preparation, and love the fact she's drawn the rail. I know some people don't like it, but I think from there, Black Shin should be able to get her in a lovely spot and put her to sleep, and he'll certainly produce her in the straight, and I think she'll be hard to hold out. I thought there was a bit of edge at her price. You can get her a bit shorter on her last start performance. Now she's back to set weight. So if she brings the best form, I would expect First Seal to be fighting out the finish. In for second, Danish Twist. She was super first up in the premiere. Since then, 2 winners come out of the race. Our boy Malachi, very impressive in the Caulfield sprint. And then, of course, Rebel Dane won the Manicata. So I think that form is good. And then last start behind First Seal, she was just set too great a task. Obviously, the way the race was run, she was always going to struggle from where she was, and thought she hit the line nicely. She wasn't beaten all that far. On trial at the mile, but she does give the impression it will suit. And from that draw, Joe Marrera should get her into a lovely spot. And she just keeps improving, this mare. She keeps taking those next steps, and she certainly improved. She returned a new career peak first up, so generally a great sign for a horse moving forward. I think if she gets into the right spot early, she'll certainly be finishing off late, and she'll be hard to hold out. In for third, I've got Whispering Brook, the filly. I'm just hoping they roll forward on her. They've been conservative in her last couple of races, but her best performances when she was in Perth was then they let her roll. I think from that inside draw, Chris Parnham, just hoping she does take up the running, and I think she'll be give plenty of cheek and be hard to run down. And in for fourth, Dixie Blossoms, obviously very impressive last start in Sydney. She broke through for a deserved win. She question mark with Lady Lafayette flopping last start, but she did split Tyke and Tara and First Seal to start prize. So no question mark on her form. She's in great form from that draw, Tim Clark. About time she drawed a gate, actually. And she should land in the box seat. Expect her to get a lovely run in transit. And expect her to be right around the mark. It's a tricky race. I've left a few out here, but my numbers are 2, 4, 14 and 10.
Yeah, definitely got to leave a few out here, don't you? I've gone 10, 2, 4 and 3. I'm going with Dixie Blossom. To the point you made about the barrier draw, she's just been drawing out and having to go a long way back, ripping home in fast sectionals. Now she's got that perfect gait, so she gets the right run. Obviously, it's a step up in class for her, but I think she can handle it. I thought her win at Randwick in the Yank Stakes was brilliant. I had a big opinion of Lady Lafayette that day, and Dixie Blossoms blew her away. Obviously, last week, Lady Lafay didn't place, but she had plenty of excuses caught on the inside of the track there at Mooney Valley. So I'm not going to worry about that form. As you said, the Golden Pendant before that is strong form, and I just think from that gate, Dixie Blossoms is the way I'm going to play it. First seal, massive danger. She's the class runner. She gets the gun run from gate one, and she's the best suited under the weight for age conditions. Number four, Danish Twist. I think she'll run the mile. I think she'll appreciate a decent tempo. And she's going into my Quinellas and Trifectas. And my roughie for the race, number three, Zanbar, who also comes through the Yanks. She's got plenty of class, this mare, at her best. She was big in condition first up, obviously strip fitter for the Yanks. She tackles this third up where she's got great stats. And she's got a lovely barrier. She's definitely worth throwing in if you're going to play the multi-tier. So 10, 2, 4 and 3 for me in the mire. I admit there are plenty of other chances. I am taking on the three-year-old fillies, but look, I could still miss with these four picks. It's one of those races.
Well, there you go, Zanbar. $61 on Tab Fixed Odds too. Now, the Victoria Derby. We've at this stage got no scratchings. I'll run through the entire market. One Sacred Elixir, $270. 10 Sosie Bond is $8, 3 Square $8.50, 6 Inference $15 along with 13 Beach Life, 4 Rocketeer $16, 2 Priced Icon $17, 5 Morvada is $18, so is 7 Captain Duffy and 14 Tumultuous. Now number 12 High Lad $21, 9 Winebush $26, 11 Kent $31 along with 15 Hollywood Mo, 8 Silvera $41, and then we've got one of the emergencies, 18 Anaheims $51, 16 All Out of Love $61, 17 Peter John, the others are 100 to 1, Shine Tax Darren's off, man. But they're pretty clear-cut favourite, Sacred Elixir, $270 here, Paul.
Yes, clear-cut favourite, and maps beautifully here on my map. Obviously, it's hard to get them accurately, all these horses out for the trip for the first time. We've got a field of 16, but the obvious speed is Captain Duffy and Morvada. Prized Icon will be handy, and I wouldn't be surprised if Winebush goes forward from that wide gate. But Sacred Elixir, Simon, should end up pretty much in the box seat with a great smother.
Yeah, he looks to get a lovely run in transit, and sure to give, he's going to be given every chance to see out the 2,500 metres. I'm a fan of Sacred Elixir. I just thought he was short enough at this stage. I think he will get better. If you are in Sacred Elixir's camp, I'd definitely be waiting on the day. Last year, Tarzino was around 6-4 going into the race the morning of, and then they bet 5-2 on track. So if you are in Sacred Elixir's camp, I'm certainly be waiting for race time before placing my bet. I've got Sosie Bond on top just from a market perspective. I don't think there's much between him and Sacred Elixir as there is at this current stage, so I'm happy to lean his way. No disrespect to Michael D, but Hugh Bowman, a key booking for me. From that middle draw, he should be able to put him wherever he wants, and I know he was beaten last start, but he found the line well, and his effort prior in the Caulfield Guineas was very good, and he gives the impression, obviously, that he's bred to relish a step up in trip, and I'm just happy to have him on the each way. I thought he presented good value in the Derby. In for second, Sacred Elixir. My query is whether he's ready. I suppose he's only had the three runs. Generally, from historically, most horses have had five or six runs leading into the Derby. So just whether he is that run short, but as Paul touched on, he's going to be given every chance from that inside draw, and does have that touch of class about him, so you've got to respect him. I've got him in for second. I think he will get better on the day. In for third, I've got Swear. He falls into a similar boat. It's just whether he will be strong at the 2,500. I'm not a breeding buff, but from what I've read, not many people are confident he will see out the trip, but the stable is confident. You've got to respect Team Hawk. He's similar to Sturdy Bond, draws nicely, so should get a nice smother and expect him to be around the mark. And in for fourth, Inference, really nice horse by So You Think. The barrier draw obviously is a big negative for him, barrier 20. Expect him to ride him fairly conservatively, but he's a nice horse. He's progressing the right way and wouldn't be surprised to see him step up on Saturday. But lean the way of Sosie Bond, guys. Just got to be with him on the each way odds. Numbers 10, 1, 3 and 6.
It's hard to believe, Simon, in a field of 16 runners, we've come up with the same first four, but we have. We're either both very good judges or we're both going to go broke tomorrow. I've gone 1, 10, 6 and 3. That's my order. Look, I'm a Sacred Elixir fan. I think I was at Eagle Farm when he won the JJ Atkins, and he's a magnificent horse to look at. He doesn't look like... He looks bigger than a three-year-old back in the winter. So I saw him last Saturday, and he's just an imposing, big, strong boy. I'm sure he'll run the trip. He says he'll run it better than any of the others. He's come up with barrier one. We've got Zach Purton on, an absolute freak of a group one jockey. And I just think this horse will be too good. And he could win by, it could be a big margin. It wouldn't surprise me. So, yes, he's short, but I'm just going to take the short odds. Number 10, Sosie Bond, he is the danger. And if you wanted to have an each-way bet on one at a bit of odds, he's obviously the way to play it. All his form suggests he's been set for this race, and his run behind Sagdalixi last week was the second best run in the race. Number six, Inference. Funny, we've both found this is our roughie because he's lightly raced. He did a few things wrong in the Caulfield Classic, but gee, he was strong late, and he's given me every indication he'll love Flemington, he'll love the 2500, just drawn that terrible barrier, so he may have to go a bit too far back, but watch for him late. I think he can sneak into the multis. And number three, Swear. Look, I haven't been convinced with this bloke. He's still 6 months away, but on raw ability, the fact that they've managed to get him here, that's good enough for me to throw him in as well. So 1, 10, 6, and 3, but I'm betting up on Sacred Elixir.
All right, we then go to the next event, race 8, the Cantala Stakes, the Group 1. Now, here at this stage, there are no scratchings in the full market. To the United States at 5.50, 7, he's our Rocky at 7, 1 Palantino, 7.50. 16, Seaburge at 8, 11, McIntosh, 9, 7, Voodoo Lad, 11, 5, the Remain is 13, 10, Hopgarden, 15, along with 14, McCreary. 6, Thunder Fantasy, 17, 9, Good Project, 18, number 8, Bon Orem, 21, 3, Stratum Stars, 26, along with 15, Tavachi. 12, Humidors, 35, and then 13, Great Esteem, 51, 17, Entirely Platinum, 81.
Yeah, look, it's a very tricky race. Map-wise, we've got Great Esteem going forward, Good Project. McIntosh won't be far away, and Kiwi Humidor wouldn't surprise me if he went forward off the white gate. They shouldn't really move along at a genuine speed over the mile. And once again, if the track's fair, everyone should get their chance.
Yeah, what a race, Steve. I'll be surprised if we come up with the same four here, Paul, yeah. I think.
I was going to say, that would be impossible to come up with the same four here.
It's impossible. I think, you know, I've obviously found my four and, you know, I've left out a lot of good horses. I think this is, past the Coolmore, this is the highlight of the afternoon. It's a cracking race. I've landed on La Remain. Guys, I've been with him this whole preparation and see no reason to jump off on Saturday. You're getting good each way odds about him, and there was a lot to like about his performance in the Epsom with Fabrizio, the tearaway leader. He was forced to tow the rest of the field into the race and was right there till that last 100. He wasn't beaten all that far, and I see no reason to jump off on Saturday. I think he's well placed at the weights, and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds have dominated this race in recent times. So I've got to stick with La Remain. Hugh Bowman should get him into a lovely spot, and just hoping he can get a nice card into the race and expect him to give you plenty of cheek at the each way odds. In for second, McIntosh. I love the way he sets up for this race. He was only second up in the Epsom and was only swamped late by obviously Haraki and Dibiani. Now third up, he should be ready to peak. And I know he's drawn a touch awkwardly, but with Joe Moreira on board, he won aboard this galloper first up. And you got to trust these great jockeys. That's why they're the best in the world. So if he can get him into the right spot, I think McIntosh can take that next step racing third up. And he's got a great win record. He's a lightly raced 4-year-old. He's won plenty of races. So you got to like that about him. If he does have a bit of luck from that draw, he should be right in the finish. In for third, Thunder Fantasy at a bit of odds. He was very impressive first up to the Anthony Cummings stable, who, mind you, is absolutely flying of late. He's 28% from his last 50 runners. So the stable is in great form. Slight query if he is racing a bit flat second up, but he rates highly at the weight. He's obviously a Group 1 winner. From that draw, Ty England should get him into a lovely spot and wouldn't be surprised to see him run a hell of a race. And in for fourth, he's our Rocky, number four. He's obviously flying this time in. He's unbeaten this prep and he's notched up fourth straight. So got to have him in from that barrier. He's obviously a Group 1 winner already and got to have him in the mix. But playing some at a bit of odds here, guys, my numbers are 5, 11, 6 and 4.
I was a little bit worried there. We're almost on track, but we've gone slightly different. 11, 4, 2 and 5 for me. I'm a McIntosh man on top. Going through that Epsom form line, the fact that Joe Moreira has jumped aboard, he's on 53 kilos. And the one point I can add to what Simon said, when he won the Fairmarks first start, he definitely wasn't 100% wound up there. There was still plenty to work with. So I think he'll definitely have improved off that, and I reckon he'll peak on Saturday in this race. The danger for me is number four. He's our Rocky. Just keeps winning. He's only a little bloke. He's not a real flash one to look at, but the results speak for themselves. And he's obviously a last up Group 1 winner, so he's got to go into the mix. Number two, the United States. Proven weight for age sort of horse here in a handicap on 57. I wouldn't leave him out just on class alone. And number five, Le Romain. Look, he's been unlucky not to have a better record than he's got, but at the end of the day, he's finished in the Quinella at 9 of his 12 career starts, and he's basically always raced at the top level. So you've got to have to go wide here in the quaddies and your trifectas and your Quinellas, but I'm 11, 4, 2 and 5, and we actually weren't that too dissimilar, Simon.
Yeah, it's good to see. Hopefully a bit of luck for us on the weekend. It's a cracking race. I'll be taking plenty in the quaddy.
Now, what stands out there at Flemington? Anything in particular you guys like? A best bet at all? Maybe in one of the earlier races at all?
You can go, Simon, if you've got one.
Yeah, for me, I'm pretty keen on Astern, actually, guys. I know it's a tough race, but I thought he was one of the better bets of the day. And I think we can come home with a winner in the last two, Southern Legend. Love this caliber. He's been good to me this preparation. I know he's been beating his last two starts, but he was impressive first up. I think he's very well placed at the weights. And again, he's drawn out, which I love down the straight. He rates highly on his effort last start, and I think that form should place him in good stead. So we come home with Southern Legend for me, guys.
Well, I shouldn't have let you go first. That was mine. Racing my number 11, Southern Legend. So we're dead set, almost in sync tomorrow. This is very scary or very good.
Yeah, it's one of two, Paul. It could be lobster or tuna cans after tomorrow, I think.
Just a question without notice, looking towards the Melbourne Cup. The Lexus tomorrow, race four, do you see anything there that's in the Cup that could go on, or do you think basically there's not much there that'll show any you know, prospect of making it to the Cup? Oceanographer, the overseas horse, anything like that?
Yeah, I think he's the key runner, Sean, Oceanographer. Mm. If he goes around, that is, he's sort of borderline to get a start. So
yeah.
If they know they're going to get a run, they might send him around, but otherwise he'll go around, and he holds all the interest for me, Oceanographer. I've got him on top if he runs.
It's going to be interesting when you look at his form. He ran on the 1st of May, 18th of June, 30th of July, 20th of August. Now, if he goes around tomorrow, he's got to back up 19th of October, tomorrow and then Tuesday. I mean, it'd be a shock to his system. He wouldn't have copped three runs like that quick.
No, that's for sure. It will be. So, yeah, like I said, we'll make our decision tomorrow morning when the scratchings come through. But if he's there, he's the horse to beat for sure.
All right. Now, Rose Hill tomorrow. Is there anything that stands out that you like there? A best bet at all?
Yeah, look, I'll go first just in case Simon steals my thunder again. I'm going to go in the last race, Rose Hill Race 9, number 13, upscale. She's not a great price, but she'll be winning. She's got the perfect barrier. She was terrific first up, beating Super Maxi, and then she comes through a form race out of Warwick Farm. It was a midweek benchmark 75, but it will be the strongest benchmark 75 you've seen in a long time. She ran fourth there, only beaten a length and a half, and the way she maps on Saturday at Rose Hill over 1,100, I think she'll be winning. So Race 9, number 13, upscale, my best of the day at Rose Hill.
Simon, anything you like?
Yeah, agree with Paul in the last of the two-horse race with Element of P. But my best comes early today, race three, number one, Moa. Really keen on him last weekend, and he's obviously scratched in preference for this. I think he gets a lovely run from that draw with Nick Haywood aboard. Very well placed at the waist, and I think he just comes here right time. He's obviously placed two or three third up and was a dominant winner at this course and distance prior to his last preparation. So for me, I thought he'd roll forward, gets into a lovely spot, expect him to track Dreamforce, and I think it'll be too good. I think he's got a bit of a class edge on his rivals on Saturday. So hopefully Moa gets a cash earlier in the day. Race three, number one, Moa.
That second race will be interesting tomorrow. Riccio, the one of Tony Gollins, had bolted in Queensland. Ozark unbeaten. Star and Monsoon is starting to improve.
Oh, for sure. That's a really strong little race. And X-Dean, obviously, coming through the highway win as a maiden. And even Cadigan, who's been trialling the house down. So I'm actually leaning towards Cadigan at the moment, but look, you could almost pick any of those and make a good case.
Mm. All right. Guys, have a great weekend. Have a wonderful Derby Day. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sure will, Sean. And as I said, with Simon and myself, it'd either be all duck or no dinner tomorrow night, Simon. We're singing off the same hymn book there tomorrow.
Yeah. Good on you, Simon. Good on you, Paul. Talk to you then.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Paul Joyce and Simon Dinopoulos previewing the 5, 6, 7, 8, the main ones tomorrow at Flemington, and the best bets as well for Rose Hill.